greet each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Just to kind of bridge the devotional thought here to the message that God laid on my heart for this morning, I'm going to read the last three verses of Matthew. We commonly read the last two and call them the Great Commission, but I'd like to read the last three. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We will very commonly read verses 19 and 20 and talk about how we are asked to go out and fish for men, tell the lost of Jesus. But the reason we can do that with confidence is contained in verse 18. And that is the power of Jesus that he has given to us. The very first song we sang this morning, who remembers what it was? Very good. We got several people remembered it. That's great. It's easy to sing the songs and enjoy them and let them pass on. It stood out to me this morning because I knew what I was preparing to share in the message. But the song says we see testimonies of God's power on all sides in creation. We see him ruling from his throne on high. We see how he can take raging winds and waves and calm them at his word. It talks about how he can measure the waters in his hand. When we consider the fact that the vast majority of Earth's surface is water, this is God measures them in his hand, spans the lofty sky. When we talk about a span, we're talking about the distance between the tip of the thumb and the little finger. God can just reach down and touch that all, the whole span of the sky with his hand, is what the songwriter is saying here. And then the last verse is a testimony that as his grace abounds in the soul, the songwriter chooses the words, makes the earth a paradise. I'm not sure if I would have chosen the same set of words. But it brings peace into our lives as we allow his grace to abound in our souls. My message title this morning is "The Earth, God's Footstool." And I want to start off by reading Acts 7, verses 48 to 50. Acts 7, verses 48 to 50. Now, this kind of breaks into the middle of a thought. Starts in with the word "albeit." And that's because it's referring back to the fact that God does not live in man-made temples. It talks about how the one time there was a tabernacle built for him and later a temple. I'm going to start in with the second word so that we don't have to continue that thought. "The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" And I want to catch a little glimpse, first part of the message, our great God. I want to catch a little glimpse of his greatness, his incomprehensibleness. I love those word pictures that song gave. It fit in right in with the thought this morning. Here, it says that the earth is God's footstool. We look at states and we compare states. And we say Texas is a big state. And something like Rhode Island is a little state. And Texas is big enough you can actually see it on the map without even looking. Rhode Island's just a little piece over here. To us, Texas is significant. You can see it. It's great. It's big. It's huge. But when you place that in the context of the whole earth being God's footstool, all of a sudden it takes on a different meaning. You know, really, Texas is not big after all. Really, New York City and its surrounding areas that contain approximately 17 million people, as you reach around the city, some of the metropolitan areas, it's not so big after all. When you compare it to our God, it's very small. Okay. First thing I see out of these verses here is God does not dwell in places made with hands. There is no earthly creation that can contain God. They just are not suitable for him. They're not big enough for him. They're not glorious enough for God. Second thing I see is heaven is his throne. How big is heaven? We really don't know. We look out at the vast starry sky and say heaven is somewhere beyond that. And I'm made to, and maybe some of the rest of you have seen this, more than likely some of you have. The planetarium show in the Creation Museum really left an impression on me. It had a different emphasis than any other that I saw. Most planetariums I've been in talk about man's discoveries. What man has been able to see, and with the addition of greater technology, has been able to see more. But this show looks at it from the standpoint of the little bit of God's creation that man has been able to observe. And it simulates you going out into the farthest recesses of the universe that man has yet discovered, and looking back at the earth. And you can't see the earth. It's just not there. It's that small, that minute. And then they start bringing you in. And because of the distance, they take you through hundreds of times magnification at a very rapid pace. And after a while, you can see a speck. And that is the galaxy that contains the Earth. And as you keep coming in after a while, you see the individual stars start to see blocks, which eventually, as you come on in, you realize that's groups of stars. And eventually you see the Earth. Eventually. And that's this big place that we live on. I mean, in our way of thinking, that's a big place that we live on. But the next thing we see here is that this is God's footstool. The earth is just the footstool of God. And as I think about the vantage point from that planetarium show, I really wonder if that's not being gracious. God is so much bigger than we can comprehend. When you look at it from out there, it would probably be almost more like the earth is one of the ants on a mound of thousands of ants. And we can so carelessly walk a path and squash hundreds of ants at a time. I think that would probably give us a little better concept of the greatness of our God. The fourth thing I want to observe about him is he is creator of all. God made it all. You know, man is proud of their discoveries. But God knew all along that it was there because he made it. He placed it. And man is just not even catching up. They're just starting to see some things that have been there for a long time. Okay, we're going to shift focus a little bit. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. And now we're looking at mankind. What does God have to say about mankind? We're going to read Isaiah 40. I'm going to read three verses here. Verses 15 to 17. This is what Isaiah has to say. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And you know, that gives a very different picture. Man likes to pride himself in being something, being someone great. We've discovered this. Nations pride themselves against other nations. You know, we have this power. We have this military might. We have an atomic bomb. You better listen up. You better do as I say, as we say. Man is very proud. But these verses give a totally different perspective on man. First observation I have about mankind is the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Take a 5-gallon bucket, put one drop of water in, and you're not even going to know it's there. That's the nations in comparison to God. They're but just a drop. One little drop. And the average eye is not even going to notice it's there. If you look for it, you can see it. But that's about it. And the next word picture we're given is they are as the dust of the balance. I want you to think with me for a little bit the implications of that. Is a scale system. So you put a certified weight on one side and you measure your product on the other side. It's very important that that is a certified weight. That is actually weighed out and certified to be the weight that it is said to be. And you put the product on the other side. And you very carefully put the product on until you have a perfect balance. But nobody paid attention to the dust that's in those balances that's setting that thing off. It was significant. But the dust is there. And yet they've never paid attention to it. The fact that dust weighs something. And it's actually making a difference in this measure. But it's that insignificant that nobody paid attention to it. And it says the nations are as the dust of the balance. They're insignificant. In the grand scheme of things, they don't make a difference. That's hard to comprehend because that's a totally different perspective than we as mankind have on the people of the world. A nation of 325 million people, 340 million, whatever it is, somewhere in there, has a lot of power in comparison to me, one individual. But God says the nations are as the dust of the balance. They're not even considered to make a difference in the weight. The next thing I see here, Isaiah says the isles are a very little thing. What islands is he talking about? How many here know the name of Randall's Island? Why do we know that name? Probably one of the biggest reasons we know that name is it is used as a connecting point for the RFK Bridge to get between Bronx and Manhattan, Bronx and Queens, or Queens and Manhattan. Randall's Island, or Ward Island, two islands there that are used as a connection point for that bridge. When you drive across the bridge, the RFK Bridge, how much do you think about the island? You hardly even notice that it's there, because you're driving across a system. According to the reading I did, there's actually 14 miles of roadway put in to make that bridge work. I found that a little hard to comprehend, but across the island, it's elevated road the whole way through. You have your bridge road. You have all the approaches to get up to that level. There was actually an extension to FDR Drive made to make that bridge work. A very key point of the foundation of that whole thing is those islands. But you know, we don't think about those islands as we drive across them. It's a bridge, it's a road. And God says Earth's islands are like that. They're insignificant. What are Earth's islands? Well, considering that most of the surface of the Earth is water, I think it is probably referring to the land area of the Earth. In other words, the Americas, between the Pacific and the Atlantic, and going over into Europe and Asia. They're a very little thing. They're just a place where people are. To God, it's a very little thing. The next thing I see here is, it says, Lebanon does not contain sufficient timber for a sacrifice to God. Isaiah was writing this in the time of the Old Testament sacrifices, where people were used to bringing their sacrifices to God, bringing their best and offering them. And now he's saying the whole forest of Lebanon, where the best of their trees were, wouldn't provide sufficient fuel for a fire, for a sacrifice, to really do justice to God. Offering all of the best really does not give God the praise and glory that he deserves. And then, verse 17, it says, the nations are as nothing and counted to him less than nothing in vanity. It's probably the best summary that we have on humanity. Nothing. Just vanity. We like to make ourselves something. But here it says we are less than nothing. The nations are less than nothing. We're just vanity. Now I'd like to jump ahead a couple of chapters to Isaiah 43. The next part of the message I'd like to look at God's thoughts toward mankind. The chapters in between here continue the theme of the greatness of God. The focus shifts a little bit here in verse 43. It's talking about now how God looks at mankind. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver me out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. The focus here shifts. God is looking at mankind. Even though the nations are as the drop in the bucket, as the dust of the balance, as nothing, God is looking at individuals. And these are things he was saying to his chosen people, the Jewish people. But I think we have a lot that we can learn from God's investment in mankind out of these verses. Verse 1 says, fear not. Maybe you're smaller than that ant that's running around and human feet just crush without even knowing. But God says, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. So God takes an interest in my life, in your life. Also in verse 1, he says, I call thee by name. He wants to know his people on a personal level. He wants an intimate relationship with us. Verse 2 says, he is with us in trouble. think I'll keep moving on. Keep wanting to get ahead of myself here. Verse 3. He is our Savior. God is the one that preserves us, that saves us. Verse 4 says we are precious. That's so beautiful. You might know somebody that walks along and picks up pennies off the sidewalk. You probably don't know somebody that walks along and picks up the dust specks off the sidewalk. But God says we are precious. Also in verse 4, he considers us honorable and loves us. That's hard to fathom when you look at the greatness of God, the smallness of man. It says he considers us honorable and loves us. Verse 5, he is with us. His presence is with us. Verse 6, he commands the world for our good. We see the affairs of the nations happening, and we can look and say there's trouble in the Middle East. Times are getting bad. But it tells us here that he commands the world for the good of his people. Sometimes you may get asked, why wouldn't the Mennonites all go together and vote for a good president? But you know, it's not out of God's control. God has it in his control. He is commanding the world for the good of his people. And there are times in history, many times in history, when God chose something different than the church would have chosen. But it says here he does it for the good of his people. Verse 7, he made us for his glory. And again, I have a hard time fathoming that. When you look at the vast difference between mankind and God, it says he made us for his glory. Verses 8 and 9, I've summarized it. He sees all, regardless of handicap or nationality. You know, these things don't matter to God. It doesn't really matter if you're of German origin, if you're of Indian origin, if you're of African origin, if you're of Swiss origin. It does not matter to God. It doesn't matter if you have a handicap, if you're missing a leg or your legs don't function as well as they used to and you can't do as much as you used to be able to do. These things don't matter to God. Verses 10 to 12, he cares that we honor him as God. God wants our praise. He wants our honor. He's calling us to give him that. Verse 21 continues that theme. He created us for his praise. Today you are here to bring praise to God. You are here to glorify his name. And I trust by gathering together in a way like this, we can strengthen ourselves in that, in a walk that will glorify God. For closing, I would like to all together say Psalm 8. That reference should ring a bell. You may look it up if you need to. Psalm 8. Okay, all together. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's kneel for prayer.